Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
In this audio cast number 21, I take questions from a cruise ship. So all aboard and...
1, 2, 3!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for a special and, I will admit, very different episode. This week, I am going to be airing my cruise experience that I've talked about in the past. I was on the Danube River cruise, and basically, I had a great time with pilgrims and including the special co-host who invited me to be part of his trip, Gus Lloyd, who is a fantastic friend and also the host of the Sirius XM radio show Seize the Day on the Catholic channel Sirius XM 129. Some of you may know that I actually had a radio show called Entertaining Truth on Sirius XM, but schedules just got so busy, it wasn't available, and this podcast gives me a chance to do kind of like radio my way, radio the way I just kind of enjoy doing it, not having to talk about all the traditional Catholic things, but talking as a Catholic to people who might not be very traditional at all. But in this episode, it's going to be a little different. And why? Because Gus and I teamed up and we actually had a combined show. He did his radio show and I did my podcast. And basically, we took questions from all of these pilgrims, which is why you're going to hear his radio show as well as my show. And then on top of that, if you listen, you're even going to hear me sing a song. And this week, we're not going to even have a deep dish discussion simply because I do three segments of just taking these pilgrims' questions. And I'll have to admit, every time I answer a question, I realize, boy, I've got way more to learn. So I hope you enjoy this special kind of end of the summer episode, because it contained even my summer experience with this cruise, and I sure hope you can join me on a future opportunity. But for right now, I hope you, with this little appetizer and this little amuse-bouche, that you're hungry for a deep dish discussion, which always begins with the questions of the pilgrims. So we'll be back in just a moment for a very special episode of Shoot the Shiitake. This episode is brought to you by Select International Tours, where they share your faith. The difference is compassion for the pilgrim and passion for the pilgrimage. And they also work great individualizing pilgrim leaders' itineraries, including mine, which is exactly what you're going to be hearing in this special episode, where Select International Tour created the first ever Catholic faith culinary cruise, where we rented the entire ship and traveled along the Danube River cruise. And let me tell you, it was not only one of the most unique tours, it was the first ever of its kind. And guess what? It's because Select knew what I as a tour leader want, and they make it happen. So join me on any of my future tours, or join Select on any of their multiple tours around the world. Just go to selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. If you heard people in the background applauding, it's because they like my hair. That's basically why. No, it's because we're doing something exciting today. I'm going to be joining forces with Gus Lloyd of SiriusXM 129, the host of Seize the Day, the morning show, and he and I leading a pilgrimage through the Danube River, and we've got a live audience here, and today Gus is going to be doing his radio show, and you all get a chance to ask us anything you want, and we are gonna shoot the shiitake with you. Since you are already liquored up right now anyways, it's after dinner. Let's just pretend that we're just in a bar having a conversation. You ask what you want to know, and we'll do our very best to answer it. And so let's get ready, because we're gonna join in on Gus's show and get ready for an applause. And by the way, my listeners, this is kind of crazy because we're doing two shows in one. So you'll hear Gus's morning show as well. So hold on. Get ready.
Good morning, child of God, and welcome to Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. I am Gus Lloyd on our Danube River Cruise Pilgrimage broadcast. As you can hear, we have a live audience. We are atop the beautiful Emerald Destiny and continuing our cruise up the Danube River. Man, oh man, has this been good? Have you all had a good time? So, I just want to let you know, we've been bringing you with us, my listeners, in our prayers. We've been praying for you every single day, saying a bead on the rosary for you, and we ask that you simply continue to pray for all of us here on our Danube River Cruise Pilgrimage. Now, don't forget as well, please look us up on social media if you'd like to see, as well as hear, some of the great things that we are experiencing and doing. Look me up, Gus Lloyd, on Facebook, as well as at Gus Lloyd Tweets on Twitter, and Father Leo at Father Leo Feeds and FatherLeoFeeds.com. So we've got something very special that we're going to do for you this time around here on Seize the Day. We are going to do a special edition of Ask Father Leo and Gus Anything.
Anything.
So, anything at all. So you can ask us anything you want, you name it, and we'll try our best to answer it. So Padre Leo, are you all ready to go?
I am completely ready. Now the whole thing is, though, you have the chance to either say your name or not say your name, and you can even put it this way. I'm asking a question for a friend of mine, all right? So if you want to do it that way, that would be awesome. And so let's get started.
Hey, my name is Danae. And my question is related to, we'd like to know what story besides the multiplication of the loaves and fishes that's related to food in the Bible that you love to talk about?
Softball. Yeah. This is total softball. Yes. From the moment the Bible even starts, it's about food. It's about food because the fact is, the only reason why we need a Savior is because Eve and Adam broke God's diet. So they were not supposed to eat the forbidden fruit, and they did. And so if you just start with that and then take it to the very end, where the only thing that's really going to save us is the supper of the Lamb. And so if you take everything between that, from covenants to how prophets are to be treated, and by the way, Jesus becoming food himself, he was born where? In a little town of Bethlehem, which in Aramaic means house of bread. And in Arabic, it means house of meat. You see, and he was placed where? Away in a
manger.
Which is the same word in Italian as mangiare. He becomes food. If you're not eating food, you people are going to die, which is the very reason why Jesus became food in the first place. What do you think, Gus?
I think you didn't answer the question properly. Okay, and let me tell you why. Because
please.
Now, Danae, tell me if I'm not right here. Did he actually answer the question? Because
no.
If I heard right, the question was, aside from the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, and I don't know why you decided to use that as a, you know, as his preferred story, what is your favorite, you know, the other story relating to food in the Bible that you like to tell or use? So what's the answer to the question?
Oh, sorry about that. I was just thanks, Gus.
Well, it's what I do.
I was just plugging my book, available where books are sold, all right? My favorite is actually from John 21, which was the gospel passage when Jesus was on the lake, when Jesus is on the lake and basically asks his disciple, Peter, do you love me? And that's actually on my holy card for my priesthood ordination card, because we know the answer. Yes, Lord, I love you. And by the way, this is all way before the whole plating grace movement started. On my holy card for my ordination, which is June 5th, 1999, I have just on my holy card the question, do you love me? And the answer is, yes, I do. And the answer that Jesus gives is, then feed my flock. Father Leo's Funky Fusion Steak Fajita with Holy Guacamole and Screaming Sour Cream, which is the recipe that I beat Bobby Flay in. So that is my favorite gospel passage that deals with food.
All right, can I answer the question as well? I know you didn't give it to me, but to Father Leo, who knows how to cook. I actually don't know anything about cooking, but I do love food verses in the Bible. And actually, my answer, Father, would be exactly the same as yours.
Really?
On the beach after the resurrection when, you know, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? And you know why? Because they're eating fish, right?
That's right.
And there were a number of stories in the Bible where Jesus ate, after the resurrection, he ate fish. He took a piece of baked fish and he ate the fish so that the disciples would know that it wasn't a ghost.
That's right.
Because a ghost doesn't actually eat. So if I could do a second one, though, my second one would probably have to be in John chapter 6, where Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. So those are my favorite passages that have to do with food and eating and all that other good stuff. Hey, you're listening to Seize the Day, by the way. I'm Gus Lloyd. Welcome to the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Great to have you with us. Ask Father Leo and Gus anything as we continue our Danube River cruise pilgrimage atop the Emerald Destiny. All right, we got another question. And our next question comes from
Joanne from North Ridgeville, Ohio.
Hi, Joanne. What's your question for Father Leo and or Gus?
Both. What's the toughest / most difficult situation you experienced in your life, what you had to face?
Okay, so that was a great question. The toughest and most difficult situation that I experienced in my life.
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of a personal one. And I will say this, that it was literally for me to make a decision in my vocation within my vocation. You see, I was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And about 2 years into priesthood, I was sensing, this isn't 100% me. And I met a priest who was a member of a community of consecrated life called Voluntas Dei. And it just plagued the back of my mind the entire time of just trying to figure out what God was calling me to do. I love parish life. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I felt like I was called to try to reach out to people who were outside of the parish. There are a lot of people who come to church. There are more people who don't come to church. And so for me, the most difficult thing was making a decision to leave the Archdiocese of Baltimore and to enter into my community of consecrated life. It felt like I was, I don't want to say getting a divorce, because I really wasn't. I wasn't leaving the priesthood. I was just leaving everything that I knew, everything that I loved, and everything that was comfortable. I had a rectory where people would do my laundry, people, you know? Like, and now I'm literally living on my own. I have to pay all my own bills. If I don't work, I don't make any money. And on top of that, I'm going to be 50 in a couple years, and I'm going to be opening up a restaurant, and the people I'm hiring are ex-cons. This is crazy. So just to be pulled out of my comfort zone and to be sent into the world like the disciples.
That was very nice. By the way, we're glad that Father Leo has done that, are we not? Amen. Amen. All right, so I guess the question was for me as well, right?
Absolutely.
So I'll go ahead and answer that question. The hardest thing, the most difficult thing that I've ever had to do in my life is to work with Father Leo. It's an ongoing thing. No, seriously, though, if you've ever heard my story, you may know that Michelle and I, when our oldest daughter was our only child, She had a near-drowning experience, and I had to fish her off the bottom of a swimming pool.
Wow.
And at that time, I had no relationship with God. I didn't care about God. I didn't love God or Jesus or any of that stuff. And I like to call that the worst day of my life and the best day of my life, because when I pulled her off the bottom of that swimming pool, I gave her mouth-to-mouth and CPR.
Oh, my gosh.
And only from the grace of God did she survive, and she lived, and she had no damage whatsoever.
Wow.
And so it was a very life-changing moment for me, and it took me a long time to understand that, you know, God wanted to use that near tragedy to bring me back to Him. So like I say, it was the worst day of my life, but because God decided to use that sometime in the future, it also became the best day of my life as well. So thanks be to God for that. Oh, and by the way, if you don't know, if you've never heard the end of that story, that little girl that I fished off the bottom of the swimming pool when she was 2.5 years old, she's now the mother of my two grands.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome.
And by the way, for anybody, this is a great part of the story. For anybody that has grandchildren, you know that when your children have grandchildren, they go down the pecking order now, and they're no longer really your children. They're just the mother or father of your grandchildren, right? Okay. Hey, thanks for listening. By the way, you're on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 as we continue on our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage. We are atop the beautiful Emerald Destiny and continue our cruise up the Danube River. And we are doing Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything. So let's find out who our next questioner is.
And as we continue just to shoot the shiitake, this is giving you all a chance to literally ask us anything, simply because when is the last time you really just talked to your priest and was 100% honest with them? Really? I mean, most you do is just simply walk out of church and say, "Nice homily, Father." And the deacon preached. I mean, seriously, all right? So this gives you a chance to just be 100% honest with what's on your mind.
Hi, I'm Diane from New York State, and I'm going to ask a simple but controversial question.
Ruh-roh.
Where do you guys stand on, did Mary have other children?
Oh, that's a
that's
no-brainer.
Kind of easy, yeah. That's actually kind of easy in that the word for children or brothers and sisters, because we know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters, and in fact, we hear that in a very recent gospel passage. Who are my mother, brothers, and sisters? You know, whoever does the will of my Father is brother and sister and mother to me. And so, did Mary have other biological children? The answer is clearly no. Our tradition has been handed down that she was a virgin before, during, and after. If she had her own children, they would have been clearly nominated as such. Where? At the foot of the cross, the greatest pulpit in the world, because she would not have been given to John, a disciple. She would have been, in a sense, the responsibility of her own children. And so we know she didn't have biological children. The tradition is that maybe Joseph did, because he was a little bit older. And the fact is, when we hear the brothers and sisters of Jesus, because the word Delphoi could have meant many, like the word Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love, right? We all know that Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. But if I go and buy a cheesesteak and they make me a really good cheesesteak, that man is my brother. He is not my brother, but he is my brother. And so we know that the word brother means more than one thing. So yeah, she's been a perpetual virgin before, during, and after the birth of Jesus.
All right, I'll tell you where I stand on that. First of all, that was the first time I have ever heard cheesesteak included in an answer to that particular question. I've been asked that question many times before. I will never, ever forget the cheesesteak answer, okay? So anytime anybody asks me in the future, Gus, what do you think about Mary's perpetual virginity and whether she had other children? I'll simply say, cheesesteak.
Absolutely.
Just cheesesteak. No, actually, my position is simply the position of the church, as Father Leo so well elucidated. And, you know, we also know, and by the way, the Catechism of the Catholic Church covers this question. And you may not know this, but if you look in the Catechism, because a lot of people think that some of these Catholic things, like the perpetual virginity of Mary, are these well-kept secrets, you know, and only certain Catholics are allowed to know these things or the reasons why. Actually, that's covered very nicely in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you look it up, you'll find that there's a passage where there are four brothers of Jesus listed, right? It lists four brothers of Jesus, James and Joseph. And actually, two of those men are referred to in another part of the scripture as the sons of Mary, the wife of Clopas. So we know that two of Jesus referred to as brothers in the scriptures in the gospel are not actually his biological brothers. And so again, as Father Leo said, one tradition says that perhaps Joseph had other children from a previous marriage. And so, and we know that Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. But the question was, so did Mary have other children? The answer is clearly no. Hey, I'm Gus Lloyd, by the way. Thanks for tuning in here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 as we continue our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage. And we are here on a live audience atop the beautiful Emerald Destiny as we are cruising up the Danube River. It's just a beautiful evening here. We are outdoors, and we're doing a little segment that we call Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything. We have another questioner.
And we're just shooting the shiitake, and it's almost as if Gus and I are like Wonder Twin powers. Activate! And the power is to try to give you the gospel in hopefully a bite-sizable way.
Okay, our next questioner is
Damien from Edmonton, Canada.
Hi, Damien. What's your question for Father Gus and or Father Leo? Oh, my gosh. Whoa!
Did we just ordain? Wow. Wow. Edit much, please. Wow. Okay.
That would be Father Leo or Gus.
And or Gus. Here we go.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
I had asked this question of Gus about a year and a half ago, so I already know what the answer is. But so maybe you can explain it after I ask Father Leo, but this is directed at Father Leo. What was your most embarrassing moment with either a pilgrim or a parishioner or on the radio program, or a question that someone may have asked you or a response that you didn't quite expect?
All right. We're talking about just embarrassing moments on the radio. We're talking about embarrassing moments just
on pilgrimage
in general. Let's just put it this way. I can kind of think of one now. All right. I don't speak French perfectly, okay? I don't speak French perfectly, and therefore, when I wanted to ask for the toilet, I was in a very small cafe in Ars, France, where Saint Jean Vianney is buried. I asked for the toilet, and the waitress said, "Oui, oui, avec café." That means with coffee. And I went, with coffee, that'll make me want to go more. That's what I'm thinking. And I kept saying, toilet, toilet. And she goes, oui, oui, avec café. And so she just kind of gave up, and she brings me 3 milks. All right, because that's what toilet means. And when I said, no toilet, toilet, baño, pee-pee, that's what I said. And she said, oh, toilet! And then she starts laughing. She's laughing so hard she dropped things. She pulled the waiter over, was like slumming on him. The waiter pulled the cook out, and it was like, toilet, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, shut up, I hated your food anyway. You know? So the problem was I still didn't know where the damn toilet was, all right? And so I just went elsewhere. Let's leave it at that, okay? That was pretty embarrassing. The second most embarrassing thing, again, in France, was I was trying to ask for a nice glass of white wine, a bon bon blanc. And the guy looked at me in perfect English and said, dude, you just asked for a good-looking blonde lady. That's what he said. Embarrassing.
I absolutely cannot top those. Well, Damien, I'm not sure if the question was on the radio or with a pilgrim. Was it one or the other? Because I've had more embarrassing moments on the radio than you care to know about. I can't even count on both hands and both feet.
Those are the best of Gus Lloyd show.
That's what we call best of Gus Lloyd, right? Every time I insert my foot into my mouth wholeheartedly. And embarrassing moments with pilgrims, I've had an awful lot of those because I've had an awful lot of pilgrims on the radio. And so, you know, my most embarrassing moments generally tend to be in confession with Father Leo. So, if you count him as a pilgrim. So there you go. All right, ask Father Leo or Gus anything. We are atop the Emerald Destiny, and I'm Gus Lloyd. Thanks for tuning in here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. All right, we got another question.
Hi, I'm Debbie Berger from Avon, Ohio. I'd like to know, our cruise is coming to an end, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but...
Literally Debbie. Her name is Debbie, so that was a cool take.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I would like to know, what is something that you have seen on our trip that you wanted to see the most? Were you happy with seeing it? Were you disappointed in seeing it? Something along this trip that...
Oh, let me answer that first.
Oh,
let
sure, absolutely.
Okay, so the question was, if I get it right, something that we've seen on this trip that we've either loved or hated, right? So I got to tell you, This has been just the most amazing journey, and I have had the best time. Have you? Do you guys agree with that? Have you just had a really good time on this journey? So I was telling this story. I've told this story to a few people, and it goes like this. When we were at the classical music concert in Vienna, have you ever seen the movie Field of Dreams? There's a scene in Field of Dreams where Shoeless Joe Jackson, played by Ray Liotta, is in a cornfield, on a baseball field in a cornfield in Iowa, right? So he looks over and he says to Kevin Costner, "Is this heaven?" And Kevin Costner says, "No, it's Iowa." And when we were at that concert, that classical music concert in Vienna, I felt exactly that way. I'm just looking around and I'm thinking to myself, "Is this heaven?" And then they asked me to come up and dance. and I looked back up, words to God, and I said, "Is this hell?" So actually, Debbie, I've lived out both of those things in a matter of moments. So yeah, it was really great. And the other thing too, by the way, for all those who took the bike ride to Melk Abbey, that was another highlight for me. This has just been a most amazing trip, and I have been so very blessed so many times, and I've been so very blessed by you guys as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with us. We really appreciate it. All right, how about you, Padre Leo?
So I'm trying to figure out if there, because I've been here before, and I haven't just been here with 150 of you all. That's the big challenge. For me, the most surprising thing was just how well Gus can boogie. I mean, really, it's just, I thought there was complete energy. It was like a Dirty Dancing moment, really. I mean, we all got up there dancing and everything to classical music, and I just saw, like, white man does have rhythm, ladies and gentlemen.
So hang on just a second. So this is how this really went down, right? I mentioned a moment ago about how I looked up and said, "Is this hell?" And as I'm stepping on my wife's feet for the third time, she looks at me and goes, "Yes, it is." I'm Gus Lloyd. Welcome to Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. All right, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, more Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything here on our daily pilgrimage on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129.
And because I don't want to feel left out, we're going to return after a short break with more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo.
Yeah!
I'm getting super excited for my next set of travels as I'm a speaker for the World Meeting of Families 2018 from the 21st of August until the 26th, ending with a big celebration with himself, Pope Francis. I'm so pleased to be able to present a message that can satisfy what your soul is hungering for. There will be cooking demonstrations, karate demonstrations, but also a healthy dose of our Catholic faith. So please make sure you visit me at my booth or at my presentation. Just simply go to fatherleofeeds.com and you can see where I will be speaking. But to register, come to the World Meeting of Families at worldmeeting2018.ie. Again, worldmeeting2018.ie. Thanks to Gus Lloyd of SiriusXM 129 for reminding me to push the button. I'm such a bad Asian, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm just shooting the shiitake with a bunch of people here on a Danube River cruise. We are on top of the Emerald Destiny. And let me just ask, are you guys having fun on this pilgrimage or what?
Yeah!
And we giving you a chance just to shoot the shiitake with two radio kind of people, and we're obviously trying our very best to answer your questions, so make sure you ask some nice juicy ones. But we're going to start up again, intro Gus's show, and
go. Welcome back, my friend, to Seize the Day. I am Gus Lloyd atop the Emerald Destiny as we continue on our Danube River Cruise Pilgrimage broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, I want to make sure that you're following us on social media. You know, I've been talking about our Danube River Cruise Pilgrimage for a little while now. And if you'd like to see some of the places and not just hear about them, follow us on social media, Gus Lloyd on Facebook, at Gus Lloyd Tweets on Twitter, and of course, Our co-host for the pilgrimage, Father Leo, is at Father Leo Feeds. We've been posting videos and photographs of the many amazing places where we have been. Well, we are currently cruising up the Danube River, I guess you would say, on the Emerald Destiny, and we're doing a little thing called Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything. So we've had some folks that have asked us some pretty interesting questions, and we've got more to come right now. So our next questioner is...
Susan from California and D.C.
Okay, and what's your question, Susan?
I actually have two questions. One's really serious. I heard a good friend that said that you, Father, are 4'3" and 170 pounds.
Okay.
Where just, could that have come from?
Yeah, you just literally turned me into a hobbit. Thank you very much.
I was just wondering if that was true.
No, I'm much taller. I'm 5'5", and the last time I checked, I was 165. After this thing, might be 170 at this point, so don't judge me, all right?
But my serious question is...
I thought that was your serious question.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
That was a lot of sharing on my part. Do you want my social security number next?
Okay, what's your serious question,
serious
Susan?
Question. Well, I am familiar now with Plating Grace, but I remember you from the Grace Before Meals.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know how that ever got started.
Grace Before Meals started actually after September the 11th, 2001. Because I was supposed to go on a pilgrimage to France with three other priests, and obviously September the 11th kicked in and everything just kind of went to purgatory, so to speak, right? And the idea of the cooking show started because we still had time off after a very busy weekend of welcoming Christers to church. Remember that? There were so many people. Christers are Christmas and Easter people, by the way, all right? But there were Pacers. You know who Pacers are? People who come on Palm Sunday, Ash Wednesday, Christmas, and Easter. In other words, they pace themselves, okay? But the churches were packed because after some suffering, we obviously have to kind of get close to God. And so after that busy weekend, we still had time off. And so what did we do? We just went out to a little retreat house, and I did the cooking. And they wanted to watch the Food Network, but it was shut down because they shut down a lot of the cable stations. And then they said, well, then we'll just watch Leo cook. And the joke was, Leo's going to have a cooking show. And so just to shut them up, I called it Grace Before Meals. And the reason why I changed that was because Grace Before Meals started to sound too pious. Not that I'm against piety, but my job is not just to feed the good Catholics. Like, my job isn't just to preach to the choir. My job is to literally plate grace.com. All right? I mean, that's my job, is to serve people God's goodness. And plating is a technical chef term for presentation. So my job is to help present the faith, even to non-Catholics, in hopefully a delicious and bite-sizable way.
I have a question for you then, and kind of a follow-up to that. Father Leo, by the way, with us here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Have you ever cooked something special, like maybe for one of your shows or something like that, and it turned out really bad?
Oh, yeah, man. Let me tell you. There was one time for my show on EWTN, I was cooking something called beer butt chicken, okay? And you basically shove a beer can up a chicken's cavity, you sit it upright so it looks like it's literally dancing, and you just roast it in the oven. So, but because it's EWTN...
How could that possibly go wrong? I'm just curious.
Well, let's just put it this way. We had to change the name to just beer can chicken. The chicken fell over, all right? And so it just was spilling all over the place, and we were under the gun, so... We couldn't even cook the chicken fully. I had to do a taste test of the white meat. But the freakiest part was basically when I had to pull the beer out of the cavity of the chicken. And I basically said to the camera, try explaining this one to your kids, folks. And the place just, the camera guys just started laughing so hard that they were shaking. And so we had to do that again. And so if you ever watch that episode, just enjoy me and the sound of the beer can coming out of the chicken's butt. All right.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Gus Lloyd, and you're listening to a special broadcast on our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 as we continue with a special episode, Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything, the pilgrims on our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage atop the Emerald Destiny on this beautiful day are asking us anything at all. And we pretty much got an answer. Okay, we have another questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from first.
My name is Emil Guzik, and I'm from Edmonton, Alberta.
Great, Emil. What's your question?
Well, I really admire Catholics for being against abortion, because if you have a sperm combined with an egg, you're going to get a zygote. And the only thing that'll grow out of there is a human being, not an elephant. But why is there such a pushback against climate change when the science is out that 95% of climate change is caused by humans, and there are people who are dying, mothers who don't have enough milk to feed their little ones because of the dryness and the erratic behavior of weather?
Okay. Okay. Wait, this,
yeah, let's see if we can. Let me break that down.
So, Emil is talking about his respect for the Catholic Church in regards to our stance on pro-life issues. You know, it's a cluster of cells. It looks like an alien chicken nugget in the mother's womb, but it's a baby. That's no doubt about it. But he asked, why are Catholics against, in a sense, climate change when there is science about how humans can affect our conditions, our natural environment? Well, just so you know, the Catholics aren't against climate change at all. We know that we have a great responsibility to care for God's creatures. We're literally called the custodians of God's creatures. So we do have to respect nature. I'm just so glad that even non-Catholics love the fact that St. Francis of Assisi was a big tree hugger in the best way possible. Not in a pantheistic way, but he realized that all creation are vestiges, traces of God. What we have to be careful of is the politicization of these issues. So what is a hierarchy of truth? Is it, are we going to put all of our energy into climate change? Because it's strange that there's a lot of people who would be so happy to save a whale, but they're willing to kill a baby. So it's just kind of confusing. We have to put the hierarchy of truths, and human life is at the top. And then underneath all of that is the rest of creation. We also know that our world is mysterious and that there are crazy ways that it can heal itself. We have to aid in it. But if it means that I've got to give up air conditioning, and if it means that I can't drive my car because, like, a quote unquote tree hugger is going to call me, you know, immoral, or if someone is going to have six kids and they're being made fun of because they're going to use the world's resources, I think that climate change people have created a religion for themselves. And you know who their God is? Themselves. So I think there just needs to be a true balance. And the hierarchy of truth says human life is the most important thing we need to protect. And then if you respect the dignity of human life, you're going to respect the dignity of all creation.
That's a great answer, Father, and I'll just kind of add to that, because Emil, I think what Emil was asking as well is, it seems that even in church circles, there are people, higher-ups, churchmen, that are making a really big deal out of climate change and seem to be underselling the life issue, if that's kind of what I heard Emo, and that's the take that I'm going to put on it anyway. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of Catholics are very frustrated with that when they hear people, especially you know, some of our leaders, high churchmen, that are, again, making a big deal out of climate change. When, even though there are going to be people who say, oh, the science is settled, yada, yada, yada. Well, the science isn't settled. There's an awful lot of open discussion, as there should be, about that. However, the science is settled when it comes to the fact that when a human egg is fertilized by a human sperm, it is a human being. It is a baby. Period. End of story. And so just as Father Leo said, I feel very strongly about that as well, that, you know, I call it like a hierarchy of values, that there has to be a hierarchy of values, because everything flows from the right to life. If you take away the right to life, none of the other stuff matters, period, whatsoever. Now, does that mean that none of the other stuff matters? Does that mean that we should not be good caretakers of our planet? Of course we should be good caretakers of our planet. And I have to say, I've never met a Catholic that is pro-pollution. I've never met a Catholic that is pro-litter
anything
like that. You know, like, oh yeah, let's just garbage up the Danube River, for Pete's sake. Did the captain hear me say that? You got to take that in context, Captain. You know what I'm saying, though, is that we do want to be good stewards of the planet, but we also want to make sure that we are speaking out for the most innocent people on the planet, the child in the womb. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you for listening. By the way, you're on Seize the Day, and I'm Gus Boyd on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 as we continue on our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage, and we are atop the Emerald Destiny doing a special edition of Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything. So let's find out who is asking our next question and what it is.
Hi, I'm Robin from Nashville, and my question for you has to do with cooking. And I was wondering, since I've never been much of a cook, if you could recommend how I could get a fresh start at my age.
Okay, a fresh start at your age, that's a loaded question because I don't know how old you are, and I'm not going to even ask, but let's just
Father,
say...
Father, can't you see? 27.
27. I was going to say actually 23, guys. So let's just put it this way. It's not about enjoying cooking. It's more importantly about understanding the power of food, and that's my big philosophy. Granted, not everyone's going to like cooking, and feeding people is going to be a chore. In fact, we call it a liturgy, and the word liturgy means work. And so what I try to do is make connections between what you do spiritually. You have to feed yourself spiritually. You also have to feed yourself physically. And the more you make that connection between soul and body, the more you're going to see that, yeah, it is hard work. But if you are looking just simply for tips in cooking, I've got 3 amazing books out there, and you can get them. Available where books are sold. No, but really, more importantly, I just want you to make sure you harvest the power of food to do good. Even if you just kind of order a pizza, just make sure you eat it slowly and pray before you eat it. That's all I ask, all right?
All right, I got to do some follow-ups here now.
You got to.
First of all, thank you for asking that to Father Leo, because I'm a complete imbecile when it comes to cooking. Now, I'm actually very accomplished at eating, though. So I got a couple of questions for you to follow up on that. You mentioned about, like, making a pizza. Does it count as cooking if I go to Publix and I buy a frozen pizza and I throw it in the oven? Does that actually count as cooking?
This episode is sponsored by Publix. And yes, it does, because see, it's not just the art of culinary technique. It's really the art of a desire to feed others with love. It's a desire to feed yourself with good things. And so for me, yeah, even if you buy fast food, just eat it slowly and pray before you eat it. The idea is what the power of food can do in bringing people together. That's what food does.
All right, I got to let you know, too, that Father Leo, now listen again. Father Leo just said that getting a frozen pizza and throwing it in the oven counts as cooking. You just made millions of college kids so very happy and feeling so much more accomplished in their lives. Okay, one last thing about that. What's your take on, you know, because look, a lot of people I know, like me, who are just complete imbeciles in the kitchen, what's your take on just getting a cookbook and following directions in a cookbook?
Well, I think cookbooks are there to inspire people and give you some techniques. And what I try to do is make a connection to faith, because the fact is, getting to heaven is a recipe. Just follow the recipe. And yeah, you could put your own twist and spin on it, but the fact is, there is a recipe and we just have to follow it, even if you add your own twist. And my suggestion, add a little bit of holy water as well. So that's what I would suggest.
I love it, Father Leo, on Seize the Day here on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 as we continue our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage broadcast and a special live edition. We are atop the beautiful Emerald Destiny and literally cruising up the Danube River. It's Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything. So we've had some great questions so far. Let's get another question. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what your question is here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129.
Yes, I have a, this is Gerard from Roanoke, and I've got a friend who wants to know the question. Or the answer
the old,
question.
I've got a friend. All right.
I got a friend.
I thought we'd never get one of those.
It's a food-related
Gerard,
question.
Okay. That's his real name.
It's a food-related question, and it's short. Spam, yes or no?
I mean, like, does spam exist? I mean, what are you asking? So spam, by the way, I did some talks in Guam, which is the capital of spam.
Yeah.
And I actually can turn spam into something pretty stinking gourmet. You know, if you just cut into little cubes and you saute it in some butter, basically, guess what can happen? You can turn it into spaminara, carbonara. You know, I don't think it's the healthiest meat. but I also can't look down on it because for many people, that's kind of a least expensive meat. At least they can get some protein. And of course, if you pray before you eat it, it kind of won't kill you, all right? That's what I'm thinking. But I also have to say, I grew up eating Spam, and if you fry it enough, I cut it very thin, and you add a nice little starch like rice to it, and then hit it with a little pickling, it could be a pretty delicious breakfast item as well. Just throw an egg on it. You know, so Spam, I love it. Why? Because that's what some people call me. I'm not big enough to be called a big ham. So they call me a can of Spam. That's what they call me.
All right, just a follow-up question to that, too. Is it me, or did Father Leo just identify Spam as meat? Is that true?
It's parts of meat, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, thanks so much for listening here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. We can spell that, by the way, S-E-A-S. Well, kinda.
Yeah.
Seize the Day, as we are cruising atop the Emerald Destiny on our Danube River cruise pilgrimage. All right, our next question comes from, tell us your name, where you're from, and what your question is.
Hi, I'm Barbara from Texas, and I'm wondering what the heck happened in Ireland recently, one of the most Catholic countries in the world.
Oh, yeah, boy. That's a tough one there. Gus, you want to take it first?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take this one first. Thank you, Barbara. By the way, happy birthday.
Yes, yeah. Happy birthday, Barb.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
dear Barbara.
Happy birthday to you. And many more. All right, the question, what the heck happened in Ireland? Well, we're referring, of course, to the referendum. You know, I'll tell you what I think, and look, I'm not Irish. I don't keep up with the Irish news, but we did talk a lot about this on Seize the Day here on the Catholic Channel. So my take on it is simply this. The Irish people have gone the way that most of the rest of the world has gone. And it's a real unfortunate thing. You know, sometimes we tend to idealize not just individuals, but whole peoples. And I think maybe many of us did that with the Irish people, where, you know, we thought, well, Ireland is a Catholic country, certainly. And look, it's an odd thing because 35 years ago, just 35 years ago, Ireland added that Eighth Amendment to their constitution. And the margin on that vote was the same as the margin to repeal the Eighth Amendment. It was 66% of the Irish people in 1983 decided to add that Eighth Amendment to their constitution. So it's amazing to see what's happened in the last 35 years. So what has happened in the last 35 years in Ireland is exactly what's happened in the last 35 years to the rest of the world. You know, the Irish people are wonderful people. Even though it has always been considered a very Catholic country, the world is making inroads like crazy. Satan is making inroads like crazy into the hearts and minds of the Irish people. And I'm not trying to say that the Irish people are possessed or anything like that. Don't get me wrong, because Satan makes inroads into my heart and to your heart as well each Amen. And every day. And unfortunately, and the second part to that question, I think, is simply this. Every celebrity, every politician, everybody who had anything to do with anything in Ireland was pro-repealing that Eighth Amendment. So there was an awful lot of folks, including bands like U2, which disappointed me to no end, who were advocating for abortion in Ireland. And I think those are some of my takes on it. What do you say, Father Leo?
Well, I was kind of impressed by the fact that she said, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
I would have said, what the faith happened? That's what I would have said. And that's exactly the problem. There is a real misconception between faith and science, and people have made that into a great divorce. And so what I think we need to do is to let the world know that the Catholic Church takes science seriously. And the one thing about science is that all of it points to the fact that that cluster of cells is a baby. And I think because the Catholic Church has had, quote unquote, a bad reputation, not just because they think that we're backwards, but also because of the scandals, there's a little bit of a lack of credibility in our communication of the truth. And so there's a lot there, and I just know that the faith can grow under the cross. So I tell Ireland, don't be afraid of the cross. Carry it well and your faith will grow, and it'll help to rebuild Ireland. Every country, no matter how Catholic it is in need of ongoing conversion. That's what I would say.
Amen to that. Father Leo and Gus Lloyd here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel. I'll tell you what, we got to take another quick break. And when we come back, we are going to have more questions. Ask Father Leo and Gus anything. as we continue our Danube River Cruise pilgrimage broadcast here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129.
And as I bring my little segment to a close, I sure hope that you enjoyed this Shoot the Shiitake. There is going to be more to come where we're going to just have a breakfast opportunity. And you know what? It'll just be a chance for us to just shoot the shiitake a little bit more. And you could always learn more at fatherleofeeds.com/listen.
I know that this is a different episode that you might be used to, but I just wanted to share with you a little bit about my world and to make sure you know that I am here not just to ask the questions, but to also answer your questions. So if you have a topic that you would like to discuss or questions that you want me to address either on a show itself or on a premium sponsored content episode, all you've got to do is just reach out to me directly at Father Leo, that's spelled out, Father Leo, at fatherleofeeds.com. I love to hear from you to shoot the shiitake with you.
Yay! And welcome back for more Shoot the Shiitake. This is a little extra special because I'm on top of the Emerald Destiny on the Danube River Cruise with Gus Lloyd. We are just looking at all the Catholic sites, and normally radio hosts would be interviewing people. You get a chance to interview us, and I call this little extras a little side dish to the deep dish discussions. And so let's give it up for Gus Lloyd.
Welcome back, my friend, to Seize the Day. I am Gus Lloyd. Thank you so much for tuning in on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. As we continue our cruise up the Danube River, we are literally atop the beautiful Emerald Destiny and cruising up the Danube River. Now, you know, we've been talking about our Danube River cruise for a few days now, and if you'd like to see some of the sights that we're seeing, as well as just hear about them on the radio, then make sure you're following us on social media. You can find me, Gus Lloyd, on Facebook, as well as Twitter, at Gus Lloyd Tweets. And of course, my dear friend Father Leo Padalinghug is fatherleofeeds.com and at Father Leo Feeds on Twitter. So make sure you're following us on social media for all this really cool stuff. Right now, we continue with a special live episode of Ask Father and or Gus Anything. And our next contestant is...
Here it is.
Beth from Indianapolis.
Okay, Beth, and what's your question for Father Leo and or Gus?
My question is a Mass question. I was just recently in Kentucky at a church, at a Mass, and in the bulletin it said, please do not put your hands up during the Our Father. That is reserved fully for the priest, and they said that we should be in a prayerful position. Just with our hands folded together. So I was wondering what your take on that was, because at our church, we all join hands, and so it's just different everywhere I go, and I wondered what is the right thing to do.
Oh, Father
Leo. That's a great question. So actually, technically, there is no major rubric on that.
Wait. What's a rubric?
A rubric is the cube with a bunch of different colors. Right.
The rubric's cube. I hate those things.
Sorry about that. Rubric is actually the rule and regulation. And so while it is correct that the only person who is supposed to have their hands up in what is called the orans position is the priest on behalf of the people, it doesn't say that you're going to get in trouble or the prayer is not valid if a lay person wants to hold hands or if they hold their hands high. I think what they're trying to do is to establish, in a sense, a unified prayerful posture. And that is something that a local church can actually do. I just know that if we start micromanaging, and I'm just speaking from like a pastoral heart, if we try to micromanage everything, it kind of causes a little bit more confusion than anything else. And so I simply say, if you're going to pray, just pray with your heart more than anything. And if your hands are in the air, don't try to draw attention to yourself, because some people like to pretend like they're mystics and they're praying and levitating in Mass and such. So I just think what they need to do is just pray with the community. And if that community doesn't do that, then do it that way. And when you're with your community that holds hands, great. And if your community like gives each other wet willies at the sign of peace, go to another church, is what I have to say.
Amen to that. I got a kind of a follow-up question. You know, St. Joseph of Cupertino was known to levitate. So was he okay doing that at Mass, if he could do that at Mass?
Well, let me just tell you again, St. Joseph of Cupertino was actually an object to be despised. They hated him. In fact, they imprisoned him, and every time he'd levitate, they literally would try to chain him to the floor. And so when you're a little different, people are going to pay a little attention to you. And so I just think that when we're trying to do something in community, then just do it in community. Like, I remember very clearly going to a place where everybody held hands. And if I tried to like pull my hand away just so that I could be in a hands folded position, then I really didn't understand the whole point of the prayer and saying our Father, and that these people are my brothers and sisters. So I think that while it is personal, it is also communal, but I also think there is a little bit of micromanaging that can happen in the liturgy.
Yeah, that's a good point. And look, my take on it is simply this. If you are drawing attention away from the main point, like Father Leo said, we're praying the Our Father, we're praying the Lord's Prayer. And if you're taking time to reach across the aisle, while, you know, again, it can be a very nice gesture to do for somebody, but even if the intent is necessarily good, first of all, I'm not a fan. And I'll just let you know, I've actually changed, I've changed my position on that of late. Our parish was a hand-holding parish a while back, and I just decided not to do that anymore. But I do hold hands with my bride when we're standing next to each other and we pray the Our Father together. So, you know, to me, that was, I guess, sort of a small compromise on the deal. So I hope that answers your question. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. By the way, you're on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. As we continue our cruise up the Danube River, ask Father Leo and or Gus anything. So let's go to our next person who is going to ask Father Leo and or Gus a question. Tell us your name, where you're from, and your question.
Marie from New York. I learned a lot about Father Leo, and I was wondering how you loved karate and martial arts. So how did you go from being the karate kid to being a priest? And also, I have a request, and that is I also learned that you wrote a few songs, and one of your mom's favorite is called To Serve.
Oh, my God.
And I was wondering if you could just give us a couple of notes.
Oh, good Lord. My mother put you up to this, that evil woman. So basically, I love my mother, and I will close it off that way. So, but I was a martial artist. I was actually pretty good, but not great. But I enjoyed myself very much in the martial arts, but I just knew that I was called to fight for a higher calling, so to speak. But I am glad that I'm a black belt because now I get to wear black all the time, right? And as far as the singing, maybe I can do that if I make my way down to the lounge at some point, all right? I'll do that. Or maybe we'll just close off my segment for my Shoot the Shiitake with a little song.
I like the fact, too, that not only is he still a black belt, but he's a black pants,
yes,
and a black shirt, and black shoes, and black socks. So he's pretty much got the whole package together. All right, we got time for one more question here on Ask Father Leo and or Gus Anything. So let's find out who our next contestant is. Tell us your name, where you're from, and what your question is for Gus and or Father Leo.
David Dalasivic from the Woodlands, Texas. And as a lifelong cradle Catholic, it's always intrigued me that a faith that professes to be one holy Catholic and apostolic has two creeds. And I was wondering why that's the case, why we can't just have one creed.
Ah, okay, that's an actual fantastic liturgical question. One is the Apostles' Creed, which was just an ancient article or symbol of faith. The Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed,
nice,
try saying that a few times, that creed was actually created in order to combat against heresies. So one is a general, specific, what do you believe in terms of who Jesus is? And the other is literally a statement to combat heresies, and particularly when people thought that Jesus was only a spirit, or they thought he was only human and not God, or did the Holy Spirit give forth Jesus? And so there were actually things that people debated on. See, the more you get invested in something, the more you become a specialist, and if you become a specialist, you have to have very strict criteria. Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're going to be able to do brain surgery. And just because I'm a priest doesn't mean that I can do the work of a bishop or an exorcist even. So there's got to be some specializations, and the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed gives us those clear theological definitions.
Yeah, that's I couldn't do any better than that answer. No question about that. I will simply say this, if you, and you know this very well, David, that we still use both creeds, by the way, the Apostles' Creed, and we say the Nicene Creed at Mass. However, like when we say the Rosary, we use the Apostles' Creed. So it's not as though one is even different or better than another. Like Father Leo said, they complement and complete each other. So Padre, well done, my friend. Thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in here on Seize the Day. I'm Gus Lloyd. Privileged to have you here on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. All right, we got to wrap things up here on the program. I want to remind you, though, if you'd like to see these amazing places where we've been taking you on the Danube River, we started out in Budapest, made our way up into Slovakia, then into Austria, and we are making our way into Germany, and we're going to continue to bring these awesome places. Make sure you're following us on social media, Gus Lloyd on Facebook, at Gus Lloyd Tweets on Twitter, and Father Leo, of course, Father Leo Feeds, at Father Leo Feeds on Twitter as well. Keep following us. Know that you are in our prayers. We are so very grateful for you. And I thank you for listening to this special Danube River Cruise Pilgrimage broadcast on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129.
And while Gus has ended the show, I can continue for just a few minutes more. I've got one more question here. And just for you, I am going to end with a little bit of a swan song, the one that I wrote. Because if I don't, my sister will, like, give me a guilt trip. My dad will give me a guilt trip. And my mom will, like, weep. All right? So here we go.
Hi, I'm Karen from San Diego. And my question is along with the Irish repeal.
Yep.
Yes. What should Catholics be doing? Because I feel like we aren't maybe speaking out loud enough, like the agnostics who are getting flags taken out of our schools and stuff. So what should we be doing?
So, yeah, for me personally, I do believe that the Catholics have a responsibility to try to proclaim their faith even more. But knowing the antagonism that people have towards the Catholic faith, we need to be speaking it out with our actions, to making sure that we first of all show how much charity we do, but also how joyful we are. And we also have to start inserting ourselves into the entertainment culture, the secular world. And we have to, in a sense, be willing to challenge people and do it appropriately. So one of the things that I try to do, at least on my podcast, is take time and listen. And as much as I just want to grab the mic and be like, you are so wrong, you are so stupid, and you have no idea what you're talking about, that's not going to help. We're dealing with a group of people who are not only ignorant, they're sensitive little snowflakes. And the fact is, I've got to do what I can to encourage them. I literally have to hold myself back because I want to kind of like smack some sense into people, but it's not going to help. And that's where Jesus, as the good shepherd, meek and humble of heart, gave his greatest pulpit on pro-life when he was dying on a cross. And the only thing he could say was, Father, forgive them. And it's true for our generation. They have no stinking clue what they're doing. And so what we've got to do is insert ourselves well, appropriately, almost like Secret Service missionaries. In a sense, it's kind of what I'm doing with the food thing. I mean, you all just know that Anthony Bourdain killed himself, right?
Yes.
And you don't have any clue of how hard these people work. And so what I'm trying to do is insert myself into their world and just be a little bit of leaven and a little spark. If we do that in the political world, if we do that in the medical world, if we do that in the entertainment world, you're going to see a little change slowly and slowly. And to know this, our salvation is not going to be determined on how many people we convert, because that's technically not even our job. It's how many people we're willing to love, even when they hate us. That is a hard thing. And that's why I'm going to kind of close with a song that I wrote, and I'm just going to sing just the verse because it's perfect, because the song was called Let Me Die to Live in Thee. All right, that's just what it's called. I can't believe I'm doing this. All right. The voice of God said, I was beloved and called to serve. Hear my prayer. Shepherd my people. Go teach all nations and spread my peace. Is it I, Lord? The cross called me by name. Let your will be done in me. May your grace and love proclaim. Let me die
to live in thee. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I will be back next week with more Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo.
And this episode is brought to you by Select International Tours, where they have a passion for the pilgrimage experience and compassion for every pilgrim and for every pilgrim leader, which is why I hope you enjoy a pilgrimage with them in the future. Just go to selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. And thanks for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe on any of your platforms for your podcast. Be support to us by sharing this to all family, friends, and parishioners. And of course, we could always use your support to create great content and to keep the conversation going. $10 or more provides us with a premium sponsorship level, and you receive premium content every week in your inbox. All you've got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/listen.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.